Hey, everybody, you're in the cafe with Caddy. And you know, I have my most favorite, should I say that? Cafe companion with me today, who looks like he got a haircut that looks very lovely. Mr. Nick Rhodes. Hi, honey.
You say that to all the boys.
No, I don't. I only say that to, well, maybe. Okay. No, but you, I always tell the story how the very first time I met you, I was going to do some college newspaper radio tour and they sent me over and I was so afraid to meet you. I had it in my mind that you were going to be like very mean or something. I don't know. And I got to your hotel room and you were so sweet and cute and funny and immediately were appalled by my lemon heads. And there was no turning back. We were
BFFs. Yeah, I'm still appalled by your lemon heads.
I don't eat them anymore, but I understand. Did you get a haircut, or as my dad would say, did you get them all cut?
No.
Oh, it looks nice. Your hair looks very nice today. Well, you're in the midst of so much future past promotion. We don't have loads of time for today's cafe, and we haven't spoken to you since June. So I have lots of questions on my phone that I've prepared for you. So shall we jump right in?
Like it was the deep end, Catherine.
Like it was the deep end. You're so cute. So the biggest difference between speaking to you in June and now, beside the weather, is that the album's come out. Future Past.
Isn't that a miracle?
It sure was. 6 years in the making. The reviews, as well as the fan feedback, has been better than I can remember ever. And I've worked with you a long time.
You have. Well, that's great. I think I've sort of started to understand a little bit about what the fans particularly are zeroing in on. And that's because it feels in some ways like some of our very earlier material. There's certainly some 80s influence in there. And some self-references, which we very rarely do. In fact, the last time we, and the only other time we really did that was after 10 years, we put out the Decade album, and there was a track called Burning the Ground, where a lot of our previous tracks, including Planet Earth and The Reflex and Wild Boys, and used them in that song. So this album actually has references, not sampled, but references. Songs like Anniversary certainly refers to several of our other songs. So I think that has been something that people are connecting with. And I also feel that at the moment, music's just taken that turn. It's come round, just like things do in fashion. And you listen to other things that are out there, whether it's... The Weeknd or Billie Eilish, that there's a lot of 80s influence out there. And so it naturally felt right for us that that's what the temperature is out there. And I guess we, yes, that's one of the things that I'm picking up on.
Nicholas, can you, because there's been lots of discussion about this, what are some of the Easter eggs and Anniversary? Because... there's a lot of this.
Yes. Don't you have to wait until Easter for Easter eggs?
No. Okay. So what are some of the references to old Duran Duran? Can you give us one?
Well, yes. There's a bunch of things in there. I think the most obvious one is Wild Boys, which sort of the tempo of the song and the bass drum. Wild Boys, and also what we used on the Tom Toms with Roger. I used that as a motif electronically on a synth. So it goes into the choruses and it's in the chorus. The way the harmonies are stacked up refers back to that period too. I think there's references to Hungry Like the Wolf, the Reflex in there. It's more about people seeing what they think is similar to other things. It's the way that we can play together too. The other thing with this album is that there's not much copy and paste in it. The way most modern music is made now with computers, people will play something for a verse, for example, and then they'll just make a copy of it and stick it in for the next verse. Whereas, well, which we've done before with certain parts, not with everything. We rarely have done that with any vocals, I think. But this time, even with the bass and drums, they really wanted to play through everything. Consistent, and John and Roger love that. Those little nuances that you get from live musicians actually playing and making a drum fill, hitting a cymbal at a different time, are dialed in. And I think that, again, is possibly what reminds people of when we used to play everything completely live on the earlier albums, other than the sequences, of course. Yeah. This album was done more in that style.
How does it feel now that the album's out? I read an interview with John, and he said, you know, once the album's out, it's like a kid going off to college. You let it go. You raised it, you let it go. Do you feel the same way?
I'm pretty pleased with it. I think the mixes are good. For me, an album, a song, and it always lives and dies by the final mix. So that's a process that I take very seriously until the absolute end. And I think mostly it worked out well this time. It's a lot of interesting sonic tapestries. That's what I look for in new music, other people's music. So when we can do that ourselves and get it right, and get the rhythms right, get the lyrics right, then I'm pretty happy.
There were a lot of singles this time.
Right,
a lot of pre-release music.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm afraid that doesn't work so well for me at all. In fact, I find the whole concept of it somewhat ridiculous. I'm told somewhat reliably, I hope, that people like to put out a lot of tracks before an album now.
It's a thing, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's not my thing. I'm afraid I really, in this case, I always like to move forward, but in this case, I don't feel that's particularly progress, because you just overwhelm people and confuse people, and they don't know what things are singles and what things are taster tracks, or this revolting expression called instant grat, which whoever came up with that really should be.
It was a long time ago, because I remember it from my industry days.
For a very long time on their own and made to look in the mirror. I'm not a fan of that at all. I think it's an entirely upside down way to put an album together. I think you need to keep your focus on singles and on a track and a video, so that people can understand what things are and then go on the journey. Having said that, I think Invisible was a single here in the UK. I don't think it really made single status in America, meaning that nobody took it to radio or even tried, which I think was a shame, because I love that track. More Joy came out. That was never meant to be a single, but I do think the sort of lyric video that goes with it, the anime.
Yeah, it was great.
Really super well, and I love Chai, so I'm really glad that came out. And then we released a proper single, being Anniversary, which does have a proper video too, which apparently has got lots of famous people in it. And so that was okay. And then anything else, all the other things, I'm afraid I really haven't taken much notice of that, because the next important thing to me will be whatever proper single comes out with a video and a sensible release after Anniversary.
What do you think? Well, Give It All Up is a
I think they've put that out. But I can't focus on that. I'm afraid it just sort of doesn't make sense to me.
I understand. Speaking of making sense, something that Duran Duran made a lot of sense of for a long time, not just, you know, at the beginning of your career, was doing night versions and remixes. And every time you have an album out, fans inevitably ask if you'll be doing any of that for your current music. What do you think? Anything?
Well, we did actually talk about potentially even doing some night versions that were proper old school ones where we played them that I thought could have been good. So there are certain tracks that would lend themselves. That might be worth looking at some stage. Few remixes that have come in already, which I like a couple of, that I'm sure will be coming out at some stage as we move forward. There's no massive remix agenda yet.
The anniversary video was an extravaganza.
Yes, I suppose one could use that term. It was actually fun to make because the director, Alison Jackson, who is also a filmmaker, photographer, the queen of celebrity satire, she really pulled it together with the castle we worked at. Beaver Castle is a remarkable venue. I mean, for those of you who live in England, I believe you can go and visit. It's really worth it.
Yeah.
If only to see the Holbein of Henry VIII, but lots of other things. And I think that the casting was spectacular. Finding those people that really do look like other people from a certain angle is an art.
Yeah.
And Alison has got that down. She knows she's got the greatest wig makers and costume people. And she just knows when people look like other people. Because honestly, we were wandering around looking at people thinking, who's, oh yeah, that's who it is. Of course, a few of them weren't as good as some of the other ones. When the J-Lo walked in, I thought, gosh, that really is uncanny.
Yeah, yeah.
So much like her from almost every angle. And the guy that played Daniel Craig.
Oh,
from,
my God. What
angle? He's just a spitting image. But it was so sweet to hear his accent and what he did with his day job and everything. I love that about them. It was fun just to be around a bunch of people that were happy to be part of the project that all had their own stories.
That's really nice. You should do that would be a fun project for us, Nicholas, to sort of speak to everybody.
The behind the scenes documentary does show you a lot of
some of it. Yeah.
Parts like that.
I think your Elton John might've been a diva. In the documentary, he seemed to take his character quite seriously.
Yes. I think we all thought that.
That was pretty funny. So touring is always top of mind to your fan base. Perhaps, I don't know if for you, but what do you think about, I know you're doing the BBC show soon, actually, December 2nd. And that's exciting. And then what do you think about next year?
Well, we have to see how things develop in the world. Hopefully, it'll be a safer, more sensible place for everyone, and we'll be able to play lots of shows. We're looking at Europe and certainly North America and Canada. We started looking at Australia, a possibility, which could be fun. It won't all fit into next year for sure, because we're definitely not starting before, I think the first dates are around April, Ibiza, April, May.
Oh, right. April into May. Right. The 28th, I think.
That's the beginning of everything. So we'll see. I'm excited to play shows when it's going to be fine for everyone and when we can go all self-assured that it's going to go without any problems. I was a little dismayed to see that a few people that have tried to do a string of shows have had to cancel due to various pandemic issues.
Right.
I think that that will be gone, but we'll have to see.
You do or you don't think that will be gone?
Well, I'd like to think that it will be gone, but we'll have to see, because I'm not sure at the moment, with the way things are going, that it will be that easy. We certainly are planning and hoping to do plenty of dates.
Nicholas, thank you so much, because I know you have to go literally to another interview. Thank you so much for being in the cafe. I had another question about movies, but I think I'm going to save it for our December Christmas cafe anyway. We have to really get cracking. I mean, there's a lot. It's
coming out, though, isn't there? I'm really looking forward to seeing Dune. I wish I'd seen it already. I still haven't even seen the James Bond film, I'm afraid.
That was good. But those aren't going to be Oscar movies.
There's a lot of things out there that are good already.
Already? That's what I mean. We're so behind.
The next few weeks, we know we're hit with a barrage. So
we are.
Yeah. Yeah,
and some of them are only going to be in theaters. And what are we going to do? I don't really want to go to a movie theater anymore. I got used to this.
Well,
have to
rent a theater.
Oh, okay. I'll fly over. Nicholas, it's been a pleasure as always. Lots of love to you and your family. And we'll speak to you next month. Thanks for coming into the cafe.
I shall look forward to that, Catherine. I will see you then. Goodbye to you and to all Earthlings.